Franklin, serving Sheridan and the Bighorns. Whether you're planting a tree or digging a foundation, contact One Call of Wyoming at 1-800-849-2476 or 811. Call 2 business days before you dig. It's free and required by law. Repairs to utilities can be expensive. Cutting a gas line or electrical line can be deadly. No matter if it's weekend yard work or major construction, call One Call of Wyoming at 1-800-849-2476 or 811. Sponsored by Public Service Commission, Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Hi, this is Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's. From the moment you walk in, we want your meal to feel easy, welcoming, and unrushed. A great night out isn't just about what's on the plate. It's how you're greeted, how you're taken care of, and how everything flows. We pay attention to the details so you don't have to. Good food, good service, good timing, start to finish. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan. Oh, and book your table early on Frackleton's.com.
Hi, I'm Kurt Lair, and I'm excited to tell you that I've joined the Midas team here in Sheridan. When's the last time your vehicle had a checkup? Midas does it all. Brakes, alignments, oil changes, suspension, AC service, tires, batteries, check engine diagnostics, and full routine maintenance. Basically, if it's part of your vehicle, we can fix it and save you some money doing it. Save $80 on tires right now, and you can get free wiper blades with any premium oil change. Make Midas your one-stop shop. Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, April 15th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning, we're joined by the Sheridan Police Department Chief, Travis Koltiska, and Captain Tom Ringley. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Floyd.
Morning.
Well, Chief, how is spring at the department so far?
Well, the fact that I was mowing in April, I can't decide if I would rather have the snow or the grass growing. But no, things are good down there. We're starting to see a little uptick. That's normal with, you know, we've had good weather pretty much all winter. But you still see that with the daylight hours getting a little longer. We get a little busier. It's just normal. But we do have, you know, we have a... We just got Officer Moss back from the academy. He graduated from the basic academy on Wednesday. So he's back to duty, which is great. Officer Haley just finished his FTO, so he's at full duty. And we're going to lose Officer Simon here to the academy here for a few months, but we'll get him. We're happy to, we'll be excited to get him back towards the, what is that, end of July, like in there?
Yes.
So, but no, things are going well. Today, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, National Public Safety Telecommunications Week. Today we hired and filled our last vacant position in dispatch.
Oh, so fantastic.
With the communications technician, Travis Prince, starts his first day is today.
Oh, wow. Wow, so you've got somebody heading in there for the first time today as we talk about it. I think that's amazing. This is one of my favorite weeks of the year, actually, because National Public Safety Telecommunications Week.
Telecommunicators.
It's absolutely vital. I mean, such an important job. We talk about it each year, and we should, because these people undergo an immense amount of pressure. So how is the week typically observed nationally?
You know, I think there's a lot of different ways different agencies do it. I think we try to do our best to recognize them every day of the week, every day of the year, because they really are such a vital component to emergency services and to the service we provide to the community in Sheridan. You know, I heard it said one time, long before you hear the sirens, you're talking to a voice on the other end of the line.
Yeah.
And that's our communications technicians, or more commonly known as dispatchers. You know, this week we did a proclamation. I read a proclamation last week at the city council, just recognizing this, where the city of Sheridan recognizes the 12th through the 18th of April as National Public Telecommunicators Week. And, you know, we just try to do our best to just enhance the credit we give to those professionals in our agency.
How many do we have here in Sheridan?
So we are currently staffed with 11 full-time communications technicians. One of those positions is actually a communications systems coordinator, kind of oversees the ongoing processes and mechanisms within a dispatch. We learned a long time ago several years ago that that expertise that it takes in that communication center, I don't have it.
Yeah.
Growing up through the ranks in patrol, you learn a little bit about the communication systems and operations, but you don't know it all. And so having Becca Hartman in that position, who's been with us for 11, 12 years now, I'd have to look exactly. She knows the systems well. She knows processes well. So she kind of facilitates and organizes that. But she also functions as a full-time communications technician as well. So in case we have a shortage, an absence for a vacation or an illness or whatever, she can still plug in and go right to work.
Chief, how many are on the phones at any one given time?
Traditionally, we're staffed with we have what we call each side of the week, but we have there'll be two from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and then one additional floater comes in at noon, and then the next shift comes in at 6 p.m. and works till 6 a.m., and that floater stays until midnight. So from noon to midnight, there's three in our communication center. We have three stations from 6 a.m. to noon, or from 6 p.m., or from midnight to 6 a.m., there's usually two. Sometimes there's only one because we have to also work a combination of eight-hour shifts in there. So sometimes between 6 and 8 in the morning and 4 and 6 in the morning, there may only be one communications technician that are answering calls.
Busy folks in there.
Yeah, they're very busy considering the amount of calls that they handle every day. They're very busy.
Now, when it comes to Sheridan's dispatchers, they actually handle not just the SPD.
Yes, that's correct.
They handle the county as well, right?
Yeah, the Sheridan Police Department actually employs all the communications technicians, the dispatch center. We operate and run what they call the PSAP, the Public Safety Answering. I can't remember exactly what it stands for. It's a 911 call center. We dispatch for our entire dispatch center, dispatch for the police department, the sheriff's office, 9 fire and EMS agencies,
wow,
and provide additional support to 6 additional law enforcement agencies in Sheridan County. So all state and federal law enforcement as well. We're providing additional support. We're not their primary dispatching center, but all 911 calls in Sheridan County and the region come here.
That's incredible. What did you say, 9?
9 fire and EMS agencies.
My gosh. I imagine that room was incredibly busy during the fires.
Oh, yeah. And those sort of things are just like, yeah, tons of calls coming in at the onset. Once things kind of settle in and we can work through the processes, things really settle down after a period of time. But on the onset of anything, a 2-car crash at a busy intersection will inundate the dispatch center with 911s, which is what we want. We want people, yeah, reporting stuff, right? But it can really get inundated. I've had to go in there and throw a headset on and start just answering 911 calls, saying, 911, yep, we know, thank you. 911, yes, we know, thank you. And that's a challenge for somebody who has no real formal experience with that.
And when it comes to the technology that they're dealing with and the communications that they're handling, do they also have like a text that they can send out to the officers or first-line responders?
They can via our mobile data computers, which all the officers have in the car. So Spillman is our records management system. And through that, there's a portal for, they're basically IMs. And they can also dispatch calls electronically as well. So it frees up the radio, keeps the radio free. But also what a lot of people don't realize until you need them is that one of their major functions is emergency medical dispatching and the protocols they use. So every time someone calls 911 from a medical, whether it's ranging from a rash to a heart attack, they have protocols that they have to follow. And getting that certification, it's tough. It's hard. And recertifying it every so many years is tough. And they're all very good at that. Just the wide array of information they have to know, it can be staggering. And we don't want them speaking on behalf of officers. We want them to put calls people through to officers, but just knowing which resources to link people up with can be very challenging. And they do an absolutely fantastic job.
And it's incredible to think the amount of these. So they've got certifications that they have to have. They've got to be proficient in the use of all these technologies. And I imagine they've got to know the city, the county, the areas extremely well, so they know who to call, when to call them. That's such a specialized duty.
It really is, and the ability to multitask within that department is incredible. You really have to be able, they call it their third ear, you know, being plugged in and listening to radio traffic, having a call come in, being able to talk to both, comprehend both, understand both, and get resources going to potentially two requests at the same time, one on the radio and one on the telephone. Is pretty impressive skill set that they possess down there.
Incredible amount of multitasking going on down there while they're put essentially in a pressure cooker.
Oh yeah.
The clock is ticking.
Yeah. I mean, there's protocols to get people. They got to get people there in a very timely manner. And we, the sooner we can get emergency services to the scene, whether it's a EMS or fire or law enforcement, that's life-saving seconds. Every second's life-saving. So it is really important to be able to do all that as quickly as possible. Plus, there's a lot of other things they do behind the scenes when it comes to our report. You know, they're entering individuals, they're running driver's licenses, they're running registrations, they're putting people into our involvement sometimes, they're running criminal histories. There's just the volume of work down there is pretty incredible.
That is incredible. So while they're handling these calls, possibly IMing somebody, on different calls, an officer may need a search. Hey, could you check this person out for me?
Yeah.
Here's a license number. I just want you to see if there's some warrants
out. In the middle of them doing other things, and they, yeah.
That's got to be, some wear and tear. What's the average you have telecommunicator sitting in that seat, time frame-wise?
What do you mean?
How long do they usually last? I mean, some, the great ones,
well,
just retired.
Cindy Shepherd Godwin just retired. Well, not just, but in last year retired. She was on this show this time last year. But we're probably roughly 5 years.
Yeah,
average. I mean, we have quite a few under 3 years and under, but we have some in that 7 to 10 and a little bit more range as well. And it's like everything during the last 5 or 6 years, even before that, we've really started concentrating on character. So we're much like officers. We're just not going to fill a dispatch seat with somebody. We make sure we get the right people.
Yeah.
And we feel that we definitely do now, especially with the people in the dispatch center.
And it's fantastic knowing that every seat in there is full. Is that average, Chief, or is there usually one or two spaces available?
It ebbs and flows. And in any law enforcement agency, regardless of what position you're talking about, you can usually account for an attrition rate of about 10%. It's a tough profession.
Yeah.
And with night shift and the stuff we see and do every day, and it is a hard profession. Sometimes it's just not for everybody. We usually count. Or we don't count on, but we usually anticipate that there's going to be a vacancy here and there. But we have, I think we're pretty stable in there right now. We've got great people who really seem to enjoy their work that are absolutely fantastic at what they do. You're going to find anybody that needs to call for service here is going to find an extremely polite and professional person answering that phone call that is going to do everything in their power to give you all the resources they can as soon as possible. And so we're very fortunate here.
And I would think this job would be perfect for a very specialized type of human being who likes that high energy, high pace, high stress situation. And there's a lot of people out there who do fantastic in that pressure cooker type environment. And so I would think that there's some people that get in there and just absolutely excel.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We find that. And like I said, we've really focused and honed in on that character, that ability for them, to identify the characteristics and the traits that are exactly as you described, that are able to work through that. But, every pressure cooker needs a release valve.
Yeah.
Right.
There is right now, it is full dispatch week decoration, having this come out of St. Patrick's Day. I gauge the quality. Our offices are probably about 50 feet down a hallway and a few turns, and we can hear them laughing in dispatch. So, that's how I gauge how we're doing. We have people that enjoy the job, and we certainly see it as one of our major functions of our jobs is to make the Sheridan Police Department a fun, good place to work for everyone. We know everybody gets Monday-itis every once in a while and have to drag themselves in. But generally, we expect people to enjoy themselves and to express themselves through the work. And if we don't hear that laughter, then we know we're doing something wrong. And I would, you know, people often say their only contact with a police officer is on a traffic stop. Well, their only contact with dispatch is obviously on a phone call.
Yeah.
But we would ask people to be patient because much like the officers, you don't know what the dispatcher's just finished, what call they've just processed.
Yeah.
And if they're a little off, it seems like they're a little off with their game. It's not personal. It's certainly not intentional. They may have just handled an extremely hard medical call or worse. So, you know, just take that into consideration when talking to our dispatch professionals.
And they may be as efficient as machines, but they are certainly beings.
You go from a severe crime against a person called to someone irate because their neighbor's grass is too long.
Yeah.
Not that that's not important either, but this
would ask people context to everything. Yeah, absolutely. All right, on that, I'm going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with the Sheridan Police Department when we return. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Sheridan, I'm Nicole Pierce.
And I'm Maren Borsheim with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Dreaming about owning your first home?
The Mortgage Rate Relief Program could lower your interest rate by 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed rate mortgage.
That means real monthly savings.
It's available to qualifying homebuyers purchasing a primary residence.
Let's see if you qualify.
Funds are limited, so stop in, call us, or visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust. Homeownership just got more affordable. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Just picture it. Your beautiful new toolbox. Drawers gliding like butter. Rows of shiny new Carlisle tools, perfectly organized. Turn your vision into reality during the spring sales event at Napa Auto Parts in Sheridan. Save up to 20% on tools and equipment, and save up to 40% on Napa Gold filters. You know you want it. You've been good, relatively. So go ahead, upgrade the garage, stock the toolbox, and make that daydream your new setup. Napa Auto Parts on Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan.
Get off the beaten path and explore the edge of believable with some of the best films from the 2025 Banff Center Mountain Film and Book Festival as it brings these captivating and moving stories of the big screen to the YO Theater on Saturday, April 25th at 6:30 p.m. Stand on the highest peaks, ski the steepest slopes, and be a part of the adventure in this year's World Tour. Hosted in part by Wyoming Wilderness Association. Get your tickets now at yotheater.com.
Are your taxes still on your to-do list? You're not the only one, but don't worry. H&R Block makes filing them fast and never a drain on your time, no matter if you meet with us in person or drop them off. Plus, we're right in the neighborhood, giving you a convenience and confidence to cross those taxes off your list. So let us help lighten the load. Make an appointment at H&R Block today.
This is Brad at Prime Rate Motors. If you're looking for a good, honest, pre-owned vehicle, stop by and see what we've got on the lot. Pickups, SUVs, and cars that are ready for Wyoming roads and Wyoming weather. No runaround, just solid vehicles at fair prices. Whether it's for work, ranch, or just getting around town, we'll help you find the right ride. Prime Rate Motors at 2305 Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan, or visit us online at primeratemotors.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. And this morning, we're sitting with Sheridan Police Department Chief Travis Koltiska and Captain Tom Ringley. It is National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week, observed every second week in April. This week has been set aside to really recognize and celebrate the work of telecommunicators helping to save millions of lives every day. Throughout the week of April 12th through April 18th, Sheridan is honoring these telecommunicators who have continued to serve in this very demanding profession. Captain, what sort of training does someone need to become a communications technician right here in Sheridan? This seems like it would take a lot of tech-type training.
It mirrors the officer's training that we've discussed quite a bit. The first step is to get them into our field training officer program, which is where we teach them how to be a dispatcher. That ranges everything from the department structure, to how things work in the city, down to the technical details. If this is your headset, here's how you put your headset on. Here's how you talk, activate the radio. This is here's how you enter a call. So there's all that, and it's just the duties of a dispatcher. But then, as we just discussed, a separate part is the emergency medical dispatch, which is independent of our field training officer program, and they frequently have to go out of town for 2 weeks for that, and they have to stay certified in that. They also have to maintain 20 hours of training every 2 years just to keep their certification, their state certification. They're regulated through police officer standards and training, just like we are. And then the last formal portion for entry level is within 2 years they have to attend the dispatch basic course in Douglas at the Law Enforcement Academy. But by the time we send them there, they're
ready to go. It's
just reinforcement training at that point, because they've been an active dispatcher for about a year. And they can branch off as well. We have dispatchers that have trained in crisis and intervention training. We've had dispatchers that have been hostage negotiators.
Wow.
So as with everyone else, if you bring us some training that matches a need of the department, then we'll send you.
We've actually had quite a few dispatchers become police officers.
Oh, that's fantastic.
They're currently working. So, yeah, they took that... they've worked in that center for a while, and they're like, you know, I want to get out on the road, and they made that transition, and they've performed incredibly well. Because again, all comes down to we're for our hiring standards are the same, you know, for officer or dispatch, for communications, we're hiring the same quality individuals. So it's just if they choose to make that transition, we will do everything in our power to make that happen.
And the importance of working as a team, especially in the telecommunicator's position, you are the hub. You're the center of that team. You allow the communication between officers on the street and other agencies. How closely are our telecommunicators with their squad or shift?
They're not, because they're part of the squad. So there's no separation.
They're actually part of that squad.
What I mean by that is there's no separation. And I think that's something I haven't seen anywhere else. Not that I'm sure it happened somewhere, but our dispatchers are supervised by a corporal or a sergeant. There's no dispatch supervisor. So they are equal parts of a patrol team or equal parts of a side of the schedule. So not only does it make communications a lot more effective, but it also builds that sense of team. There's no, back in the day, there's a little bit of a us versus them between officers and dispatch. A lot of that was
manufactured,
yeah. But also it's such a strong identity through their jobs on either side. But your identity is with the Sheridan Police Department. It doesn't matter what you do. What matters is that we're all moving forward to achieve our goals. So an officer is no more important than a dispatcher, who's no more important than a community service officer, who's no more important than anyone in our records division or evidence. We're all moving towards a different goal. It's like a baseball team. People have different positions, but you're all trying to win.
I think that's fantastic. When was that implemented? Was that a decision that the two of you decided, you know what, this is what we want to see?
No, it's been in place a little before I took the helm, but it's been an evolving process. And I think, you know, that process has evolved where, you know, it's that recognition of everybody's important role, the vital role that they play, you know, and it's not a my rule is more important than the other. There is none of that down there. It is the understanding that we all are a spoke in the wheel, and if one spoke fails, we all fail.
Yeah, it's something we used to hear is, I'm a dispatcher, I can send you anywhere I want to. And now it is, I'm a dispatcher, I will send resources, I'll allocate resources appropriately and in the most efficient manner possible so we
can achieve the goal.
Achieve the goal, yeah.
We come together and do this. I think that's amazing. That was something that I've seen actually happen with my own eyes. And, you know, it's something that maybe people who haven't been part of such a critical team might not really appreciate when they see it on the surface. But once you see that team form and you watch them perform their duties, it's amazing.
And they're very humble. We try to get one to appear with us today, but so they can talk themselves up because they certainly deserve. But they'd rather just stay behind the scenes and make things happen.
Well, that's fantastic. It's such a vital role. Now, when we look at how the city's going to go ahead and recognize our telecommunicators, you said that you put out that proclamation, which is always fantastic.
Yeah, I added it to our, you know, we do a monthly update, so we made sure to do the recognition of that in our monthly update. And like I said, the dispatch center right now is decorated up. That was one of our dispatchers, Lori. She decorates for everything. I don't know where she hides all of her decorations, but it's pretty amazing to see that. But, you know, it's just a sense of just we want to make sure that there's goodies in there right now, you know. And, you know, any recognition the community wants to give our dispatchers, we welcome it because they really do deserve it.
Absolutely. And I imagine the officers are all kind of going in there and patting backs and saying thank yous as well.
Yeah, they do that. They do that every day, which is a good thing.
I imagine. Absolutely.
Right now, they're probably in there eating some of those goodies.
Yeah. Going to have to work those off, guys. Going to have to work them off. Well, what message would you really like to share with the communications team during this week of recognition, Chief?
You know, I just want to reaffirm my appreciation for what they do day in and day out. And, you know, recognize the hard work and the contributions that they make to public safety in our community. And they really are true servants of our community. We see that their sacrifices that they make, just like officers, there's missed holidays, there's missed birthdays, there's missed sleep.
Yeah.
They make a lot of sacrifice and to their families. Let's not forget the appreciation we have for their families who lend them to us for 12 hours a day sometimes. And so it's just, you know, I'm very proud of that team down there and our entire team at the department, but our communication technician, I'm very proud of all of them. Very proud to work side by side with them every day.
Captain?
Ditto. They're just wonderful, good men or ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. They're very humble and they're extreme professionals and just all around good people that we enjoy working around.
The voice at the other end of the line, folks, the one who's going to get help to you. If you see somebody on the street who happens to be a telecommunicator, shake a hand, say thank you. They play such a vital role in our community. Chief, Captain, thank you both so much for coming in here. And I enjoy talking about Telecommunicators Week every year.
We'll see if we can rope one of them and get down here next year.
If we could, yeah. So I greatly appreciate you guys and the time that you take to appreciate those who truly deserve it.
Thanks, Floyd.
All right, when we return, we're going to speak with the mayor of Buffalo. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
I'm Maren Borsheim.
And Nicole Pierce with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Right now, qualified homebuyers may receive a mortgage rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage.
Yes, through the Mortgage Rate Relief Program.
It's designed to make buying your primary residence easier and more affordable.
We'll personally help you check eligibility and guide you through the process.
Call First Federal Bank and Trust for all the details or visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust, because your home should be within reach. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Foster with Country Pet Inn and All Around Canine, you've had great success in adopting some of the more difficult dogs from the dog and cat shelter.
We've adopted close to 23 dogs from the animal shelter. About 85% have gone into service dog work.
And that's made a difference in both their lives and the owners.
Yeah, I'd like to think so, yeah.
So in some way, maybe the ones that people often consider to be difficult have potential that just isn't being correctly tapped into.
Yes, you see that a lot in your high drive dogs, where people don't know how to deal with the energy.
And so it's kind of interesting to match a person with potential who needs a little help.
Well said.
And then an animal with potential that also needs a little help, and they can kind of work together.
That's what you're looking for, where one is needing help in one area, the other is in another, and they meet in the middle. You're looking for how they can help each other in different situations when needed, because it truly is a team.
If you're struggling with your pet, take the first step on a better path. Contact Shan Foster at countrypetinn.com.
I'm here with Candace Kindred from Teriyaki Madness, one of Sheridan's most popular restaurants. Does catering?
Tommy, hi. If you want to mix things up from the usual catering lineup, we're bringing something fresh your group will actually get excited about.
You got my attention.
Think our insanely popular orange chicken, grilled steak or chicken, tofu, fresh veggies, and gluten-free options made hot and fresh just for your crew.
That's a big upgrade from the usual.
And reach out to me before you place your order and you'll get free setup and delivery.
Bring the madness to your next event with Teriyaki Madness Catering.
The grass is greening up and things are happening at Kendrick Golf Course. The course looks to be in great shape and the clubhouse is prepped for use. While there are a lot of new things happening, rates are still extremely reasonable, making Kendrick Golf Course Sheridan's best golf value. Whether you are an avid golfer or someone just learning the game, Kendrick is the perfect course for you. Golf this season at Kendrick Golf Course.
This is Cassie Lane with Perry's Trailer Sales. Don't miss our spring open house sales event, April 16th through the 18th. We've got the trailers you need at the prices you'll love. Stop by Saturday, the 18th, for food, prizes, and the biggest sale of the season. Perry's Trailer Sales, 2516 Coffeen Avenue. Hope to see you there.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. First thing apart this morning, we're joined by the mayor of the city of Buffalo, Mr. Shane Schrader. Good morning, sir. Welcome back to the show.
Morning. How's Floyd?
Oh, he's kicking the can down the street bit by bit. How are things in Buffalo this morning?
They are wonderful. Well, you know, a bad day in Buffalo is still great. So,
exactly. Sir, summer's coming up pretty fast. That pool is one of the most popular destinations for everyone in Johnson County and even beyond. Can you begin by giving us an update on when it's expected open for the season?
Yeah, you know, the pool board, the board of directors, has tonight will be their second meeting of the year, and they're getting ready. So it's a work in progress, and they're getting the lifeguards hired up, and they're getting some work done and doing a fairly decent-sized project this year with some of their plans. So they're going to completely redo the log bathhouse and the snack shack. They'll sandblast it and restain it and paint the filtration tank. So pool board's working diligently, and they're a good group of people that have some passion about the pool, so they're gearing in.
And I think that's fantastic.
It's looking good for the year. So,
is Mr. Lawrence still on that board?
Yes, Travis is still on the board, and you know, Jeff Shelley is still the chairman of the board, and got the swim coaches and some other folks that are on the board that have a passion about it. So they take it seriously and they do the best down there.
They do a fantastic job. It's a great crew that's in charge of those operations down there. Who exactly like what you said, you know, these folks have a passion for it. They know how vital that pool is to the community, how cherished it's been through many, many generations at this point. You know, the old stories that you hear about that pool are pretty amazing.
Yep, you know, it went from a pond they diverted the water out of the creek and swept it over into a pond to the state's largest outdoor pool. So 1.5 million gallons of water or so every year in there where people can go swimming. We've never ran out of room there.
Exactly. You're not going to run out of room at that pool. Plenty of space for you and the kids and the new, well, I say new, but it's been in place for a few years now. The splash pad area over there where the little ones can have a lot of fun in that space.
Absolutely. And it's just, it's great. And, you know, Public Works does a great job keeping it all fixed up. And, you know, the pool goes from less than a foot of water down to the deep end where you got the diving boards and all that sort of fun stuff. Now, I don't go in the pool because there's somebody out there with a harpoon just waiting waiting for me to get in the pool. So, but it's a great opportunity for the kids to be kids in the summertime.
I'll tell you what, there's a lot of babies who took their first swim right there on that shallow side. That pool has a lot of memories, and I will say, for me and my family as well, it was a fantastic location where I could just take my kiddo and wife and head down there and just kind of kill an afternoon, having a good time, swimming around, laying around, and hitting that snack shack. Now, sir, what do you have information on hours or is the improvements going to interfere with anything during operations?
Nope, I think the improvements we're hoping to have done before the opening of the pool. You know, the pool usually opens that Memorial Weekend, first part of June area. It's all weather dependent, of course, but you know they have the big state swim meets and stuff there annually, so it's all part of the timing and the weather.
All
but
right.
It's usually that Memorial Weekend, first part of June.
Now, is there a spot we can go online to look up maybe? I mean, are there season passes offered from the municipal pool?
Yes, you can just get the season passes right down at the pool. I think you can stop in at City Hall and get a season pass. There's several opportunities. You can go to Compass Family for Children. They help out with the pool on uncertain issues. You know, if money's an object, they can help you out. There's some great folks in town and some great businesses that donate season passes for those that might not be able to afford it. So there's some scholarships out there available for those folks. So if you stop in any one of those three places, they can get you those passes.
That's fantastic. I did not know that. What a great thing for people to give to. That's really, really cool. I didn't know that. Now, let's turn to green waste, sir. I want to make sure that folks know this is the time of year the city of Buffalo actually puts out some containers for us.
Yep. We have we contract with Bald Mountain. They're really wonderful at working with the city to make sure that those green waste containers are out there. And there's some down at Przinski Park, and then there's some out at the end of Burritt in Cemetery Road. And, you know, we put those out because we like to keep a nice, clean, tidy town, and a lot of people just can't make the trip all the way out to the landfill. So it's a little added plus that the city budgets in every year, and we have those green waste, and all we ask is that you just make sure that it's just green waste that goes in there. No household garbage, no construction waste, but your grass clippings, your tree trimmings, branches, that sort of thing, we're more than happy to help you take care of, and it's just centrally located to both ends of town.
Now, you said that does include large tree trimmings, so branches, wood.
I don't know about large tree trimmings.
Depending on the size.
It's probably those dumpsters aren't going to hold one of those 200-year-old cottonwood trees like the ones in front of my house, but, you know, smaller branches that can go on there, you know, if you trim up your apple tree or whatever, you know, branches, your hedges, that type of thing can go in there for sure.
I had a tree go down in my yard this year. Did you?
Did I?
Yeah.
No, I'm glad I didn't, because that's where my cars are parked.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't too. But yeah, we had one go down. Believe it or not, it was a very old cypress tree in the back. I was sad to see him go down. kind of twisted when he landed. So we got that taken care of and greatly appreciate the individuals who went out there and cleaned that up. But wow, kind of shocked me. I did, out of all the trees in my yard, I didn't think that was going to be the one to go. Now, once again, no trash, common
no
household
trash, no
garbage.
Construction debris. Nope. No good wording, common household garbage or construction waste should go in there. No plastics. No, you know, if for some reason you still had your Christmas tree out in the backyard, you know, if it's got the tinsel and stuff on there, please take that off before you put it in there. That type of thing, because it all goes out to the landfill, and then that becomes compost. And you know, if you're putting in gardens or you need some good topsoil, the county landfill has some of the best you can buy for little or nothing out there, and they make it right on site. So,
really,
yep.
That's news to me, and it sounds like it's going to be something that the wife and I are going to be doing rather soon. I got a large section of the yard that needs to get worked on.
It's inexpensive. Pick up load for a few dollars and they'll load it for you.
So. All right, sir. I'm going to switch the gears over to something, I guess a little less fun, but still fun in its own way, because it is budget season. Where does Buffalo currently stand?
The nasty budget word.
The nasty word.
Gone... No, it's a great word. It's, you know, we've gone through some of the departments already, and we've gone through severance tax, you know, requests. So it's there. And, that, you know, I'm guessing we're looking probably about the same as we did last year. Don't see any huge requests coming in from department heads, or, you know, none of the department heads are talking about huge requests, maybe a few vehicles or something that need replaced, but nothing crazy and nothing wonky out there that we need. So we're probably going to be sitting around the same price tag that we were last year.
Sir, has there been discussions about the challenges of inflation lately at the budget table? Because, you know, it just seems like everything is so expensive. I imagine the cost of fuel is really pinching the city.
You know, you get the fuel, you get the, you know, the COLAs, the cost of living allowances, you know, on the pay scale, and nothing has gotten any cheaper for anybody, and that includes, you know, us folks here at the city. So we have to take that into consideration when we're doing budgets and we're doing the payroll and we're doing all that sort of fun stuff. But again, none of the department heads have come in with anything crazy out of the nothing's unexpected that we're seeing so far. I can word it that way.
And you've got kind of an ace in your hand with Mr. Madden sitting right there next to you. He's literally a magician with money.
Well, that's why we call him Magic Mike.
and rightfully so. How is that, having somebody who dealt with budgets at such a grand scale, and now he can sit down with these budgets at the city, not trying to devalue anything that the city has to handle. You have various different problems from a state level, but I mean, he mm-hmm. was so important to the Appropriations Committee for so long.
Well, you know, a little history about, you know, Magic Mike is, you know, he was an economist, has a doctorate in it, I do believe, and then he was in the legislature for I don't even know how many years he was a state representative, and you know, the stuff that all municipalities in Wyoming go under the direct distribution is called the Madden formula that he designed. And if you go back even farther yet, when he was a resident of South Dakota, he was on the city council in Rapid City. So he's seen some pretty big budgets come through at the state level, at, you know, Rapid City level. And he sits there, and you know, you can see the gears grinding every once in a while with Mike, and he comes up with a fair and equitable answer to a lot of the questions that we have.
So when you sit down and you look at your budget, what are some of the first things that you like to look at?
Well, the first thing I like to look at is, you know, our number one resource at the city is our employees. So I like to make sure that they're taken care of, and then the wants, and then you can move down to the needs, and then you can move down to the, well, I'd like to haves. And just budget in what I think are my priorities.
Now,
this is how I look at it.
Yeah. In your private life, your profession, prior to moving down here, you worked for a very large company, very high up there. Mm-hmm. You probably dealt with money issues that were no small thing to shake a stick at. What was that like, that change from the private industry over to the public? And are there vast differences in how budgets are handled?
There are some differences, you know, private versus public dollars, and my seat at the table from there to here is I can't go to my boss and ask for more money because that's me now. So, and you know, when here in Buffalo, you know, you have to, the bosses are about, there's about 5,000 of them.
And yeah.
That's the citizens of Buffalo. So, you know, you don't have a CFO and a CEO to say, hey, this particular property needs more money. And here's why, you know, at the public level, you have to figure it out and figure out where to stay inside that budget. There's, if that makes sense, what I guess I'm trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely. There. Absolutely. With private, you can, they may have some sort of discretionary fund that you can draw from. And in the public, you're doing everything you can to try and build that as opposed to take from it.
Exactly. You know, so it's, and safety, you know, safety is, you know me well enough to know that safety is probably one of my top two priorities. If not the first one, is it safe to do this?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know? I'm going to switch gears on you one more time, sir. Let's look at Burritt Street. Can you confirm the project and explain how funding has been secured?
Well, we got some loans through SLIB, the State Land Investment Board, which is the top five elected officials in the state, and we got that. So Burritt Street is going to happen. Probably not this year. This year we'll start in on the different phases of designing and engineering and all that sort of fun stuff. I'd probably look, hopefully if everything works out, into that 2027 construction season to start Burritt Street, and that'll go from Fort all the way to Watkins. So that's the entire Fort Street north on Burritt, and that will be surface and infrastructure as well.
Oh, wow. So you're going full bore on that.
Going to go full bore, and, you know, it's needed, and we'll get it done. So there'll be some questions on a few things coming up, but we'll work through those when we get to those questions. So.
How much is this one going to run?
Right now, I think we have like 5.6-ish million secured, if my numbers are remembering right in my head. But it's getting expensive to do major street construction projects. So,
absolutely. I was going to ask you about that. You've been in this seat for a few years now. How have you seen that change, even just in your time there?
It's gone up drastically. You know, I'm, without the numbers sitting right in front of my head, I'm thinking of, you know, a water main's about a million a mile. You know, a sewer line's probably close to the same, maybe a little less. And then depending on whether you go with a concrete surface or an asphalt surface is, you know, there's some differences there. But, you know, you weigh out the balance, and is it better to do concrete at the beginning and have a longer life, or asphalt and more preventative maintenance along the years, are the questions that you have to come up with. But, yeah, those projects have gone crazy.
Yeah. And the discussions within the city council, I could only imagine the debates back and forth. Do you sit with those individuals, the engineers, and really debate those issues, or do you generally take their recommendations?
Usually, you know, Public Works and the engineers sit down with the designers and the folks that are going to probably put in bids for these projects, and they come up with different scenarios, and then that's what comes back to us. The original sit down first meetings, you know, just, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, if you keep the electeds out of the room, a lot of times it runs smoother.
<That's> you know, fantastic.
I mean, let's be honest here. But you know, it's,
we'll get the plan in place and then they can approve it or disapprove it, right?
Yep. And you know, put the experts in there, and you know, you've heard it said a million times, you know, council and mayors change, but the people that know their job hang around for a while.
Absolutely.
So, and they're the ones that know what need to be in there and what type of pipe, and if there's hot soils, if there's not hot soils, if they need, you know, cathodic protection on the pipes, and or if they don't in these soils. I don't know that. You know, I didn't go to school. I haven't worked in it for 20 years. That's not my expertise. So let the people that know what that are knowledgeable on the topics sit in there and get us back the recommendations. So, and then you look at the recommendations and, you know, yeah, we need to be a huge part of it, but you know, our biggest part is make sure they have what they need to get the job done.
Absolutely. Sir, I've run out of time with you. I want to thank you so much for calling in this morning. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Yep. You too, Floyd, and don't be chasing any turkeys my direction.
I try to keep them out of the neighborhood. I try to. All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First home, feeling overwhelmed?
I'm Maren Borsheim.
And I'm Nicole Pierce with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Our mortgage rate relief program may lower your mortgage rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed rate mortgage.
That could mean hundreds saved every month.
If you meet income guidelines, you may qualify to buy your primary residence.
Let's make it simple.
Call us or visit efirstfederal.bank today for all the details.
First Federal Bank and Trust. We're with you every step home. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Here's a surprise that hits a lot of contractors at audit, and it's not a small one. You paid your subcontractors, everything seemed fine, until the audit. If they can't prove they have their own insurance, your carrier may treat them like your employees. The fix? Get certificates of insurance from every subcontractor before they start. Make sure they're active and keep them on file. Jessica Weaver, Certified Insurance Counselor in Sheridan, will make sure you're not stuck paying for someone else's coverage. Iron Valley Insurance Group, forged in strength, guided by compassion. Get a quote at ironvalleyins.com.
Hi, this is Val Green here at Sheridan Motors. And if you live in Wyoming, you know you need a vehicle that can handle it all. Snow, mountains, towing, and everything in between. Right now we have 2025 Jeep Grand Cherokees with up to $5,500 in rebates. And on new 26 Ram 1500s, you have 2.9 for 72 months, plus an additional $4,250 in rebates. If you've been thinking of upgrading, now is the time because these deals won't last long. Come see me, Val Green, at Sheridan Motors.
You still have time to save on all living room upholstery from Moss Holders Design Center. All sofas, every sectional, and any reclining pieces are currently being marked down. If you find your perfect piece in stock, you can take it home with you today. Or choose to customize it in the fabric or leather of your choice. All orders are also discounted. If you'd like an entirely new living room set, or just want to change out an accent chair, Moss Holders has choices for you. That's Moss Holders Living Room Upholstery Sale, going on now. Moss Holders, furniture.